I'm going to begin by asking you to take a minute and think of something God has done in your life in the recently, you know, the past couple weeks or so. Just a blessing God has given to you. It could deal with a gift. It could be a change He's made in your life that you see now is really good. It could be a deliverance from a hard situation. You were in a difficult place and God delivered you. So just take a minute and think about that. God is always at work. And He's always at work in your life. So don't say, there's something there. He's been doing something. I want you to just think for a moment what that might be. While you're doing that, I'm going to pass around some scriptures to you. We're going to be in Psalm 20 today. And so I'm going to pass around, let's see, we'll go that way. That's Chinese. That's Korean. You can give that to Eric. You could pass that over to our Korean friends over there. And here comes English. Feel free to take more than one translation, more than one language, if you wish. I'm going to be asking you just to memorize these verses. I'd like you to memorize them in your language. Some more what? They're coming around that way too. And if you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to open your Bible to Psalm 20. If you still haven't thought of anything, keep thinking. Something God's done in your life recently. Psalm 20. To the choir master, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May He remember all of your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May He grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. A petition is a request. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving might of His right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May He answer us when we call. I want you to look at the first five verses, and I want to ask you to tell me what you see repeated in those verses. Real question. What's repeated? What is repeated in verses 1 through 5?
May.
Yeah. May the Lord. May the name of the God. May He. May He. May, may. What's David doing?
Blessing.
Blessing. This is a blessing, isn't it? And this is a prayer, isn't it? You look at it, and that's what you see. This is a prayer of blessing. So, what is the blessing? Look at the content of the blessing. And just put it in your words. What is the blessing?
God, like, blessing us.
God blessing us, but what is the blessing? It is God blessing us, but in what way is God, he's asking God to bless us?
Even answering our prayers.
Okay, answering our prayers. What else?
Giving us help and support.
Giving support. What else? What else?
Salvation.
Protection. Deliverance. These are the kinds of things that he's saying, may God give you this. May he answer you. May he remember all your, I'm looking at verse 3, may he remember all of your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. That was in David's day, and the people would go to the temple and they would offer their different offerings, the lamb that they would burn on the altar or whatever it was. Sometimes the offerings were drink offerings or grain offerings or whatever it was, and they were kind of like requests for God sometimes. Sometimes they were repentance for sin, saying, I've sinned and I'm offering this lamb to cover me for my sin. The offerings and the sacrifices had different purposes. But that was David's day. We don't offer sacrifices anymore or offerings like that. Because Christ is your sacrifice. You rest in him. May God remember that. That's what he's saying. May he remember your offerings. Well, may God remember the offering that you have and the sacrifice that you have that happened on the cross. May he remember that you are his in Christ. That's really what David's getting at. That's the idea when he's talking that way. May God will never forget the blood of his son. And may you never forget it. I mean, we just, in communion, proclaimed his death until he comes. That's what Paul says communion is. We just, as a body, proclaimed the death of Christ. And you know what we did with the death of Christ? We took it inside us. The death of Christ this morning went inside you. That's what communion is. It's a picture of the death of Christ. And the death of Christ is now inside you. May it always be. And may he never forget it. In Christ, you are protected by the blood. Stand there. And when you're in trouble, go to God and tell him that. And say, God, may you remember that I'm yours in the blood of Christ, in this difficulty I'm going through right now. I'm your child. Don't forget it. It's the idea of verse 3. And he says, in Christ, may God give you your heart's desire. Now, when David says, that's verse 4, may he grant you your heart's desire. The idea, obviously, is not evil desires. Because human beings have such things. Let's just, you know, be straight. David knows this too. Humans have evil desires. And that's not what he's talking about. He's not saying, may God grant your evil desires or your petitions. That's verse 5. Your requests. Because we request bad things sometimes. Sometimes we don't know what we're asking for. We ask for things. And so that's not what he's saying. It'd be kind of like if I say, may your boss at work give you what you ask for. Am I saying, oh, great, go ask your boss to fire that person who's over you that you really don't like? No, that's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is, may your boss look on you with favor. That's what I'm saying. And that's what David is saying here when he talks this way. And so it doesn't mean evil desires, nor does it mean desires that we spend on ourselves. It may not necessarily be evil, kind of like may God give you a new Mercedes. You know, there's nothing particularly evil about a Mercedes. But at the same time, that's not the idea here. But the idea is more like this. It means may God give you real happiness deep down. You know the happiness that you think the Mercedes will give you? See, that's what you're really asking for. When you ask for a Mercedes, you're not really asking for a Mercedes. You're asking for some happiness that you think the Mercedes will bring. Okay, may God give you that. Because let's just be honest, the Mercedes ain't going to give it to you. But God can give that to you without the Mercedes. And so you ask for the Mercedes and he gives you happiness and you got what you asked for. That's your heart's desire, right? May he give you that. May God grant you your heart's desire in that sense. Because that's what you really want. May we shout, verse 5, may we shout for joy over your salvation. I love this verse. May we see what God has done in your life and say, praise God. That's the idea. And this prayer is not just for you. Look at verse 5, and you see that the pronoun is we. It's plural. It's not you. It's we. It's a community prayer, not a you prayer. And that's part of being in the body of Christ. And so I want to be able to look at what God is doing in Jian's life and praise God for it. At what God has done with Shinran and bless the Lord for what God's done in Shinran. And Shinran should look at Elizabeth and see the salvation you see in Elizabeth and give God glory for what God's done in Elizabeth. God's grace for one person is God's joy for all of us. May we shout for joy at your salvation. Okay, so I want to do that. So I asked you to be thinking about something God's done in your life recently. I'm just going to ask somebody to share. And then I want to praise God for it. So, any volunteers to share first? Oh, okay. Margaret, go.
For some unknown reason, it occurred to me that I could take a vacation.
Praise God. That's good.
I haven't gone anywhere. I can't even remember how many years it's been. That's how long it's been. So I'm planning to go somewhere outside of Texas. I don't know where yet.
Okay.
It's like, oh, okay. God's going to make the provision.
And God gave you this realization.
Yeah, just like, you know, you've got these miles. Go somewhere.
Okay.
So... Unless it's just, you know, my subconscious speaking, but I think the Lord's guiding me to go somewhere for some reason other than resting, perhaps. But
okay.
Yeah.
Good. Somebody else. Okay.
I was wanting a bicycle. And I'm not like a professional bicyclist, and so I just was thinking, just somebody has a bicycle in their garage that they don't want anymore. That's the kind of bicycle I want. Well, I met with a couple last week, and I mentioned that I wanted a bicycle, and they said, we have one in our garage. And the wife said, I haven't known what to do with this bicycle. I didn't want to just give it away, but I don't ride it anymore. And they're like, we want you to have it.
Good. Praise the Lord.
That's awesome.
Okay. Somebody else. Something God's done in your life recently. Go ahead, Jihan.
I took a walk with roommate's dog.
Okay.
I have never raised a dog before.
Yes.
And it has been a dream since I was a little kid.
To have a dog? Okay.
Taking a walk with dogs. So.
So God just gave you this little thing you've always wanted to do, and God said, "Here, you can. Here's a little taste of that." Okay, good. Anyone else? Mm-hmm.
So the research project I did last weekend, the employer is pretty pleased with that, and they invite me to have an on-site interview in Houston.
Oh, good. Yeah. Bless the Lord. That's really neat. Anyone else? I'll share a story. This was a Thursday, not this past Thursday, the Thursday before. I was at Rudy's for breakfast, and I meet a guy there. We finished our meeting, we're leaving. And we're walking out. And you know how Rudy's, if you've been to Rudy's, they got those big, long picnic tables. Mm-hmm. So we're walking out past all these picnic tables. And my friend says, oh, it looks like that guy is reading a Chinese Bible. And so I turn around, and there's an Asian guy reading something. And I walk out, and I say bye to my friend, get in the car, and God says, I want you to go talk to the guy reading the Chinese Bible. And I said, Lord, I don't know that guy. And he said, go talk to him. And I said, but it's weird. I mean, I've never met this guy before in my life. And God said, go talk to him. And I said, I don't know what to say. What do I say? Hi, I'm Mike. That's weird. Go talk to him. So I figured I'd better talk to him because this isn't going away. So I grabbed my Bible because I figured if he's reading a Bible, I'll go. And so I walked up to the picnic table, and he's sitting there, and he's engrossed in his reading. And I sat down across from him, but not right across from him because that's too weird. And so down a little bit. So he's here and I'm here, but on the other side of the table, enough distance that it's not weird, but close enough that I could talk. I'll open my Bible. So I open my Bible and I'm, you know, thinking, what am I going to do? So I start reading. And I hear this voice, "Hey, Mike." And I look up and it's, for my family, it's Randy Casey, who is one of the coaches for Matthew's basketball. He doesn't coach Matthew's team, but he coaches the girls' team. And I look up, and he's holding out his hand, shaking. Oh, I stand up, shake hands with Randy. "Hey, can I get you a cup of coffee?" "No, thank you." "How about some breakfast?" I already ate, but thank you very much." "Okay, well, I'm going in, and I'll get some breakfast. I'll come back and join you." And I'm thinking, oh, man, now I got to go fast, because he's going to be gone. And so now I've got my Bible, and I'm thinking, what am I going to say to this guy? This is too weird. And so I said, I looked over at this guy, and I said, "Are you reading your Bible?" My opening line. "So are you reading a Bible?" And he looked up at me, and he said, "No." And I said, "What are you reading?" And he said, "History." And I said, "History? Oh, what history are you reading?" And he shows it to me. At the front, it's not in English. There's a picture of a statue of an old Greek guy with his name underneath. And so I could read the name underneath. And I said, "Oh, you're reading Herodotus," who's a Greek historian. "And why are you reading Herodotus? That's not, you know, most people don't sit around and read Herodotus for fun." "And so why are you reading Herodotus?" And he said, U.S. culture is based on Greek and Western, and so I'm just interested in it." And I said, "Well, yeah, that's true." And I said, if I were to get you a Chinese Bible, would you read it?" Or no, I first said, "Do you read the Bible in your language?" And he said, "No, not really." I said, "Do you read the Bible?" I said, "Well, English version's too hard." And I said, "If I got you a Chinese Bible, would you read it?" And he said, "I'm Japanese." And I said, "If I got you a Japanese Bible, would you read it?" And he said, "I could get it online." And I said, "True, you could get it online." And then we just started talking about, you know, stuff. And so I invited him to the North group at Hondi's house, because he lives up north. This was in Round Rock where I met him. And then my friend had shown up before I had asked about the Chinese Bible and saw I was engaged and sat over there. So we had Japanese guy, me, and then my friend over here now, because he didn't want to interrupt us. And so I excused myself from, his name is Aki, by the way, which was another thing. I said, "Aki, no way." We had an Aki who was a friend of ours who just left in May. And so anyway, I invited him to come, and he came. And then he's come again. And he's really interested in learning the Bible. And that was just something God did. Mm-hmm. By saying, "Go talk to the guy reading his Chinese Bible." That's how that began. Who wasn't even Chinese. Nor was he reading his Bible. But that's what God said. "Go talk to the guy." That's because God's accommodating himself to me and my misunderstandings. Okay, may we shout for joy at your salvation. May we raise our banners. What I want to do is just give praise to God for all these different things that we've mentioned. I'm just going to open it up. And so give praise to God. And so I just want you to praise God for Shinran's research project going so well and doing it. And for God giving you a bicycle and a vacation and a dog. And anything else you would like to do that for? And so let's do that. This is sort of the middle of the sermon. This is kind of weird for sermons, but I'm weird, so.
Lord, you are such a good father, and how it must delight your heart to give us these gifts and to see us respond with joy. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are good and that you are loving.
Mm-hmm. Lord, praise God that you are the only one who can change the heart of man. Praise God for that you work in my heart for all the things that is a lot of things in the world that is affecting my heart, and pray, and you gave me the peace in you, the joy in you, Lord. Praise God for you, that only you can do that, only your spirit can do that.
Lord, we praise you because you are so, so wonderfully extravagant in your love. And although we realize that you're such a busy God, for all the people in this world, you still care about the small things that matter to us. And I bless you and thank you for your creativity and for how you love us so personally and have made us so unique in our relationship with you. Thank you that you know what we need and what we want even before we even realize it sometimes. So open our eyes to see all of your many blessings, that we might praise you and thank you for your goodness and your generosity to us.
Something that she would love to do is to spend time being out, which she loves, and with a dog, getting to have a little bit of fun there. And for Shinran, with all of her diligence with her work and prayer to get into the position she's in now, we might be giving her permanent work there in Houston. I just ask that you would guide her steps, help her to find what you have for her to do.
Lord, thank you for how you give such good things to your people. Thank you for things like a vacation that you have granted to Margaret. Blessed be your name. Thank you for that. Thank you for giving Elizabeth a dog, or a bicycle, sorry. Thank you for you're giving favor to Shinran with this employer, and for the research going well, and for this opportunity for an interview in Houston. Bless you. Lord, we acknowledge that these things came from you. And we praise you. I thank you for Aki and for your not giving up on me and for his heart, his hunger to know more. Bless your name. Bless you, O God. We just rejoice in the things that you've done here, little things. We also rejoice in the salvation that you have granted our hearts through the blood of Christ. Bless you for that. For in that, we can know you. Hallelujah. Bless you. Lord, we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So, in a small church, we can do stuff like that in a sermon. That probably wouldn't fly at Austin Stone. But we can sort of interrupt the sermon and actually do what the scripture is saying to do. And shout for joy, rejoice in what God's been doing in people's lives. After verse 5, if you look at the psalm changes. There are no more mayhes until the very last sentence. And so it's a different, something else is going on here. And so what's David doing now in verses 6 through 9? This is also something we get to do in a small church with a sermon that you can't do it. Austin Stone is, I can ask you some questions, and that wouldn't work at Hill Country either. What's David doing in Psalm verses 6 through 9? Let me ask, how does the psalm change?
It's more like an acknowledgement.
It is an acknowledgement, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not a request anymore. Verses 1 through 5 are a prayer of blessing. But verses 6 through 9 is not a prayer of blessing, except for the very last line. It's really an expression of faith. Where do you see David's faith in verses 6 through 9? What words or phrases make you say David is expressing his faith here?
7?
Okay, what specifically?
He mentioned other people trust in other things, but we trust in the Lord.
Yeah. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust. The word trust is a faith word, isn't it? Okay, where else do you see faith in here?
It says that now I know.
Now I know. That's also a faith expression, isn't it? Yeah. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. Where else do you see faith in here? He will answer. That's just an expression of faith, isn't it? He is saying God will answer him. Okay? Where else do you see an expression of faith in here?
We rise and stand.
Yeah, verse 8. They collapse and fall, but we rise, right? And stand upright. That's also an expression of faith. All of those phrases in there, David is expressing his faith in God and in what God is going to do. Kind of the center of that's verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Okay, chariots and horses are for 1000 BC. You don't find too many people today trusting in chariots and horses. Do you guys know what chariots are, first of all?
It's like a carriage behind a horse.
Yeah. It was they used them in battle in ancient times, and the horse pulled the chariot, and the man stood in the chariot, and the horse pulled it. It was like with wheels, and he'd have bow and arrow, and it was kind of like a really fast-moving, you know, something they would use on the battlefield. And so he's really talking about military. Horse and chariot in his day were military things. So he's talking about, today it'd be kind of like tanks and nuclear bombs. Kim Jong-un trusts in chariots and horses, right? I mean, it's just the modern version of it, but it's the same thing, isn't it? Okay, that's the idea. So let's bring this to you and me, though, because we're not tempted to trust in nuclear bombs, because we're not leaders of nations. What are you tempted to trust in that's not God? Your own ability. Okay, good. That may be the big one, right? Our own abilities. Anything else people trust in?
Our own effort.
Your effort. Okay.
Other people.
Okay. Maybe your parents have talked to you about, you know, when you get a job, it's who you know. It gets you the job, and so you got to get in with the right network, and then these, you got to know these people. If you know these people, you're good. That's trusting in something that's not God, isn't it? What else are we tempted to trust in today?
Money.
Money? Okay, we are, aren't we? If only I get all the money I need, then everything, life will be great. People think that way.
I trust in the store to make me happy by bringing me exactly what I want.
The store?
Yeah. Kohl's.
Or even a Kohl's specifically. Yeah. Or for more tech savvy shoppers, Amazon. Okay. Guys, one of the biggest sins, probably most common sins, at least in America, and I'm going to guess in your countries too, is self-sufficiency. It's what Marcel was talking about, trusting in our own abilities. I don't really need God. And it's not that. And believers fall into this too, but we fall into it in a different way. We don't consciously think, I don't need God. We just live that way. We just live life without thinking about God because life's busy. And, you know, when life's busy, you just get busy and you don't think about God, you just do stuff. And while you're doing stuff, here's God waiting for you to say, hey, Mike, I'm here. I see you running around taking care of house things and meeting with people for church, and I see you doing that, but I'm here, Mike. Knock, knock. And we do that. I can get this job myself. Sometimes we think that way. I don't need Christ. I'm a pretty good person without him. There are people who think that way in terms of getting to heaven, you know. How do you get to heaven? How do you get to know God? Well, I'm just going to be pretty good. That is self-sufficiency. That is my own abilities, my own goodness, my own works will get me there. That's self-sufficiency. The Bible calls that sin. That's what that is. Here's the deal. Nobody ever gets anything good without God. Even non-Christians. Nobody ever gets anything good without God. In the end, these people got really good grades in school because I worked and God gave me a good ability in math and I'm just good in math and I worked hard at it and I got these good grades. Okay. As far as that goes, that may be true. But who gave you that ability in the first place? Where did it come from? God gave you that ability in the first place. That's where it came from. Guys, when we rely on ourselves and completely forget God, it's like slapping him in the face. Don't do that. Don't go there. May the Lord answer you. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. It's not may you protect yourself. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary. It's not, in English we have an idiom that we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, meaning we accomplished it because we just worked and did it. That's an American saying. May he send you help from the sanctuary. You need it. You need his help. May he remember your offering. May he grant you your heart's desires and give you all of your petitions. May he do these things. The Lord saves. That's what David goes into then in verse 6, right? All I'm doing is going down Psalm. The Lord saves. The Lord will answer you. We trust in the name of the Lord. He will make you rise and stand upright. The center of your life should be God, not you. I want you to think of one area in your life where you are tempted to trust in chariots or horses. But, of course, it's not chariots or horses. It's something else today. Where you're tempted to trust in something that's not God. Just think of that for a moment. And we're going to close this way. I'm going to ask you to pair off by your language. So Korean with Korean, Chinese with Chinese, Indonesians together, Americans together. What I want you to do, you don't have a Chinese. No. You speak Chinese, right? Why don't you guys pair and you can do Chinese, I guess. Here's what I want you to do. I want you, when you get together, to pray this prayer in Psalm 20 for one another in your language. So I want it, you can just read it if you want. There's a Korean Bible and Chinese, we got the Bibles. And so you can read it, but I want you to read it for the other person. And I want you to actually pray it for the other person. So that you're praying a blessing over this other person, but I want you to do it in your language. And you can change it to make it fit the situation if you wish. You know, you can put his name in there or her name in there if you wish to do it that way. And then one of you pray and then the other one pray and then we're done and we're going to have lunch. And so, Lord, I pray as we do this that you bless people and that they'll hear it. And I pray that in Christ's name. Amen.